The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome, listeners. Welcome to Hearth Tales on Fresh FM. Join me, Rich McCoy, as we gather closer to hear the tales of seasoned artists, makers, creative souls, and those who love to support them. Listen to stories of their journeys, how they wrestle with their demons, and how they balance their calling with the scaffolding of admin, life, and self-promotion. This is the fourth and final installment of the interview with Ian Brown. You can listen to all the previous installments on freshfm.co.nz, and the entire video, an unedited video, is available on hearthtales.com. We've talked so far about archetypes and Ian's journey and storytelling as a craft. In this episode, we talk about laughter yoga and plant medicine. So if that's not for you, you know, that's understandable. But yeah, enjoy.
It feels like it leads quite neatly onto plant medicine.
Yeah.
What is plant medicine for those who have no idea?
Oh, yeah. There's been a relationship of consumption. Okay, so I'm going to just come back, let's take a step back a little bit. I'm not hedging this, I'm really keen to come into clarity and come into relation and right relation through this kind of form that I realized at some point in my life I needed to be on the front foot of managing my own consciousness is input in, input out. Okay, science. Okay, boom. Oh, don't like doing that because I like the mystery, but I'll also name it when it's useful to express that you are what you eat. You eat what you are what you eat. So if I got subtle and talked about ginger root, if I got clear about vervain, if I got interested about psilocybin, if I was curious to take anything from the natural world and put it inside of my body, it may be because there's a third voice in this, and there's like an intuitive nature that's been passed down, get this, 200,000 years. The part of your hunter-gatherer brain is 200,000 years old. Your agricultural brain, which is a completely separate beast, which is marked in the landscape by monoliths. You know, thou shalt give up your heathen ways to come and join the agriculturalists, and we're all working together in the fields, and we're keeping things. And in this moment, there's consumption on the line, literally on the line, right? There was images of like axes carved into these big monoliths to say, you come through this line of stones in the landscape of the Northern Hemisphere, Germany, France, Britain. They created, the agriculturalists created images, and so do the heathens, kind of came up and made their own images on the other side of the fence to say, you know, the hunter-gatherers. They said, we're of a different consciousness. Some of us as humans evolved at different times, and for convenience of consumption, and these are these really hot potatoes, man, like these are the ones you're juggling to keep burning your fingers on. So consumption and convenience at the same time, how does that translate to what I am today and what our culture's become? Oh, it's dreadful. Yeah. I'm full of dread. Ah, I gotta feel it though. I gotta feel it because it's my mom.
Yeah.
She's Papa Tuanuku. What a shoddy trick. How's that? How's it unfolding? And my responsibility in all of this is like, what am I consuming? Am I eating the cow with because it's just a good milker? Am I eating happy meat? Am I hunting myself? Or am I planting my greens in the garden? Because then I'm taking a burden that I could just dump on Papa Tuanuku, because she just keep giving. Because she loves us. This system, this earth system, this planetary system is full of love. And it's giving. And I think that that's an interesting indication for you and I to go into our families to say, okay, if I receive that loving energy, and use some kind of intellect or reasoning that sits between us to then say, right, I'm going to make a conscious choice about what I put inside mm-hmm. my body. I'm going to put good medicine inside mm-hmm. my body. I'm going to put healthy medicine inside my body. I'm going to put strong medicine inside my body. I'm going to put clear medicine inside my body, because it's all medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Every plant out there's got a secret.
Mm-hmm.
You know, acorn tea. I don't know. Let's try.
Yeah.
We may get like the runs for a little bit, yeah. but you never know. It may cure us of bowel cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And don't even get us started about what's the Amazon. Is that mm-hmm. not the greatest storehouse of the possibilities of a forest system? Like, we're talking about biodynamics? Whoa! Like, just the edges of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be too frightened to go 1 mile on foot in there without a guide and maybe a machete and a, you know, maybe a bulletproof something, you know? Like, help me, you know, to not get too excited mm-hmm. about the journey of plant medicines, so I don't run off too deep into the yeah. forest. And there's some elderly wisdom for us. So as a beginner, so sort of as somebody who doesn't really have any dance at all with plants, trust yourself and trust the third voice, which often is the plant. So our hunter-gatherer brothers and sisters for 200,000 years would have taken a plant and maybe held it, or maybe felt it, and they would have felt and seen an image inside of themselves about cause and effect, right? What is this going to do for me? And look, I got foot fungus, I got mold on my body, you know, it's horrible, brother. I've had it for 40 years, something like that, you know. And recently I found a free-growing fungus. So hold on, fungus.
Yeah.
I've got body fungus and I've got an internal one, but then I find an external one who's popping out in the forest saying, hey, waving its things, like, you know, on the desktop. It's the icon that jumps up and down and goes, ping, ping, ping. And I'm like, hold on, I'm frightened about that because I've been told a cultural story, and the cultural story is very scary, and it's about death and about toxicity, and it's about, don't touch that mushroom! And I said that to my children once. I'm sorry. Because what I experienced is when I did a little bit of research about this particular plant, and I started to have courage to consume a little dose, my fungus cleared up.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so I've had for the last 8 months a fungus-free experience. And the concern for me had been ongoing about, well, I wonder if this is the beginning of some kind of cancerous experience for my body as it's going into degeneration. And this other fungus has come in and said, I'm bossing your fungus. I'm big fungus, this one, a little fungus. She rolls up her sleeves like a matron, like a Russian matron, and says, I'll put your house in order. And to me, that metaphor of putting the house in order was offered to us from another teacher, who said there's a point and there's a place that we can choose to come in and knock over the tables of the moneylenders. So to put those things into our own land is like, there's also a piece about how a plant then will inform you or I to be in the deepest relationship with it, maybe by nurturing it with our own body. So we take a seed and we place it underneath our tongue. We put it into our body and we gestate it. We give it the first saliva, mm-hmm. the first warmth, the beginnings of its body, and then we place it in the earth.
That's beautiful.
Right. So then you have this piece that I'm bonded, I'm related to you. Like, I'm part of your mama, because mama's part of my mama and your mama's part of... And all of mama's related, right? And one, pop, it cracks open. And then the plant receives my loving attention. Because one of my, I don't want to call it my child. I want to call it sort of what it is. My teacher has emerged.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome. So now we're going to drink tea. We're going to drink mint tea. And if we can be open to the subtleties of that, that's nice. And
What I would also offer is if we took plant medicine as in like a master plant and worked at the same time with another smaller plant, then those two things are going to really inform one another.
Yeah.
The master plant is going to open up our conscious, heart-centered capacity to relate, and the smaller plant's going to come in and say, this is what I teach. Sit yourself down, come into my class space, and I'm going to provide you with pen and pencil, and you're going to be able to make some notes, draw some pictures, get yourself in relationship with this, because guess what? You're then, with your compassion, is going to want to say, when my child stumbles and cuts open their knee, I'm going to take that plant and chew it in my mouth, and I'm going to stick it on their knee, and my child's going to go, that's amazing.
Mm.
And they're going to be inspired.
Yeah.
And when they're inspired in the human experience, it passes on and on and on and on and on and on.
It becomes an inquisition.
Yeah, because, curiosity starts to come from it.
And a gentle shift to another form of medicine.
Yeah.
You do laughter yoga.
Oh, yeah.
You teach laughter yoga. Yeah. And humor's come up in this conversation a lot.
Not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you do have any laughter yoga things that you want to do, it's been a... we're doing that up at Cane and Downs, the Coalesce Festival. Yeah.
I got a chance to on that experience, to laugh until I cried.
Mm.
And I think there's a piece of my childhood which was just really centered in that. So laugh until you cry, cry until you laugh until you cry until you laugh, because we were allowed to begin with fake laughter. And I put that in rabbit ears, it's my own parenthesis. Ha 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 ha, ha ha ha, the mundane laugh, the kind of sadly cynical laugh, ha ha ha, the laugh of like, huh. And then suddenly somebody else, it's like a laugh in the group of us, would have instigated and relayed, and because it was there, and we had some practices that were going on that they were play based, that were like, oh, let's do lion laughter, you know, let's do penguin laughter, you know, and we'd invent them as we were going on. Custard pie laughing, great, splat, and it was play and it was fun. And so it was really early on in this journey that he said, and then it's after about an hour, lie down and feel your body, and just put your hands on your body and feel where the laughter's going, where the energy of that is, and then you maybe fall into laughter while you were lying down in the silence. It would trigger experiences. And often people went through really big journeys into broken pieces of where laughter had not been allowed.
Yeah.
That's not a real laugh, my sister would say to me. It's like 6 years old. That's not a real laugh, Ian. Stop that. And like, it felt real. like it was a genuine thing. And so that part of me started to accept there was a whole bunch of really well-curated approaches to laughing. Hey, so how about if I start to take them back off the shelf again, and just to kind of somatically allow my body to be related again to those vibrations? And the palate just way opened. Mm. 2 days of this. I mean, literally, we laughed 6 hours, 7 hours of solid laughing each day. And it was like, and we had really hearty food, and you would think that was a real challenge. And some moments of it were, but it was amazing how quickly the body kind of came back in and was recharged.
Yeah.
And in this experience, it's like, this is a perfect tool, and we were being offered it as a tool. And I said, okay, I'll go and do like a 2-day retreat, which offers me the chance to hold spaces for other people in a safe way. So yeah. I became what was known as a laughter trainer, a certified laughter yoga trainer, which is a CLIT. And I said, hey, I've been looking for a CLIT for, and now I found it, and I'm it. Hey, I'm a CLIT. And so I got a laugh out of that. Gotta recycle it.
Of course.
And then I did I brought that into classrooms and class spaces, and I saw that at about 13 years old, 12 years old, there's a lot of resistance to laughing because your voice is changing. Mm. You may sound may sound like a donkey when you're laughing his laugh.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had a friend who I used to mimic his laugh because it was so like odd and quirky, and I still to this day I still laugh like him every now and then, and I realize the wind changes and you stick like that.
Yeah.
so this is a continual piece of laughing, and that again was a piece that I went and did the laughter teachers course, which now I can train laughter yoga trainers, so I can make or bring about, or when I say I can facilitate. So I'd hold a space, and I'm really interested to try and do that in a Buddhist perspective, because I think that there's something so jovial about a mutual friend, your mutual teacher, you know, Geshe La, who holds this beautiful childlike laughter in the Buddha.
Mm.
And this is like a primary state of consciousness, which is that kind of like figure of the Buddha, you know, with laughter Buddha, and the Dalma Buddha, you know, bald, big tummy, just like letting it go. And, you know, of course...
There's so much humor in Buddhism, and there's so much humor in enlightenment and in the search for enlightenment. And every time I hear Geshe La laugh, a light goes on.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's holding life so lightly.
Transmission of something of light. Yeah,
the laughter of a monk is just phenomenal. It's one of the most potent things that I've.
And we touched on that concept of humor as well, and I think the Buddha is about humility too. Mm. So I think that they really have related and practiced and passed on that kind of nature of how it is to walk with humility.
Mm.
And when we're in a human state, a humble state, then humor is a natural kind of relation in it.
Hum. What's current for you?
Current is the sparrows in the space. Current's loving my littlest girl, little Raya. She's emerging as this garden emerges, and it's seamless, so there's a beauty to it. It's like she's part of a tapestry of a garden, and I think I get full in that. So that's really like more please, because we're worth it.
Mm.
And I'd say that as a mantra: more please, because we're worth it. More please, because we're worth it. More please, because we're worth it. Because I think that that's a healthy space for all of us to share. So I bless the listener in a piece about being worthy and being worth it. That's really alive for me, is acknowledging self-worth and acknowledging that in the community. And it comes from a place that what's up for me is when I'm challenged, when my boundaries kind of edged, and I know that there's different voices, different people's pressures, who have different a different human experience, and often the temptation is to encroach on another's boundaries because that's how we find out who we are. Our soft and gentle skin is just, it's so fragile in between what we are in here and what we are out there. So yeah, the giver culture came up a lot for me as opposed to the taking culture. Mm-hmm. And I see that the giving culture was that I'd like just return to that piece of the hunter-gatherer, and how as a whole culture, a whole, and I mean a complete, a full experience of deeply embedded in nature, so much so that they could see as givers, they would return the skins of the animals that they didn't need or didn't use, or they would offer the first or the last one. And in some cultures of the bear culture particularly, the bear cult was one of the last bear that was hunted would be brought into the party.
Mm.
And they would hold a big pageant, and the bear would sit and watch and be. So they could, that bear then could go back into the next incarnation and say, hey, I went to the party. It was great. They invited me. And all the other bears would say, well, I'm going to reincarnate on planet Earth because I want to get invited to the party next time.
Mm.
And in that, this kind of lovely piece about the giving. So I bless that piece about where I am. I'm grateful for that.
Mm.
Yeah.
And for any sort of young, well, not just necessarily young people, old people, anybody who's been inspired by anything that you've talked about with regards wanting to follow those paths,
yeah,
what sort of words of advice would you have?
Give me a call. Drop me an email. Because I'd be an open resource, an open book for conversation. Also, you know, I'm keen to share stories and sources, particularly enthusiastic about that. There's some standards. There's some places to begin. There's a non-technological resource out there, and it's called Having Chats at Bus Stops. It's getting curious and saying, hey, even just asking the question to somebody that you're just in a dialogue with, is like, heard any good stories recently?
Mm.
And that often gets met real fast. Oh, well, I don't have a story for you. I know there's a lot of good storytellers start with, I don't really have a story for you, but.
Mm-mm.
And then suddenly you're kind of into somebody else's experience. And I think that really can inform and can support a young person who is interested, who's really curious to just say, yeah, good jokes. Jokes were definitely the starting point for myself with being able to spin a beginning, a middle, and an end, and some kind of conflict and some kind of resolution. Those things really came for me as a kid. So really polish up your jokes. It'd be a good space to go. I think that there's a lot of hoo-ha about some of the topics that we talked about. For example, plant medicines, or the specific thing that I'd like to talk to is, don't go running off willy-nilly and sort of taking my word for it. But I would offer that the laboratory of the human experience is your domain.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that really sincerely, that... that a person can offer themselves absolute sovereignty, absolute responsibility to listen to the voice that is coming back to them saying, actually, this could be healthy for you, could do you some good. And then research like crazy.
Yeah.
Get some good books, get some good podcasts, get some good listening, into, and ask as many people who have experience in those realms as is possible. And it's about wellness and about the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Listen.
Mm.
Not looking. Don't need to always behold.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of addiction in our culture of the visual, to see the visual field, to be engaged fully in something that is seen and therefore static. And we get static back from it, but there's also this image that it's flat.
Mm.
And we've got these flat screen things that are like in every sort of street corner and everybody's pocket. And also, sorry if you're looking at this on the screen, I don't mean anything by it. But there's also that piece about, there's also that piece about when we listen, we can hear something and it comes through a different sensory way. And so I would offer, to listen, to the stories that the garden wants to tell you or that nature wants to tell you.
On a practical sense, you said for people to email or...
Oh, yeah.
How would somebody email you? What would they use? What email address would
they use? We've got an email address in here someplace. Ian, I-A-N, all small, dot, Kenneth, K-E-N-N-E-T-H, dot, Brown, B-R-O-W-N, at... gmail.com.
Easy.
And so just address it like question or reaching out, first contact. First contact's good because I do believe in the alien. And so like the first contact thing would be like a lovely kind of way. Yeah, and don't expect like a quick turnaround, but I will get to it and I will relate to it. So that's something if I've spoken to somebody today, that if I've touched somebody's curiosity or consciousness or light or life, yeah, and I hope I've come over in a kind of clear way for that. And that's what I wish. That's what I'd like to be here for.
And do you have any sort of closing words that you'd like to partake or any?
Yeah, I do. I got to share someplace. I got to share this. I won't go without it. I think this maybe. Let's go. Okay. So this is a bit of fun. This one's called Transmission. Oh, no. Let's leave it in this way instead. I got a poem called Humility. Okay. And we've talked about humility a little bit and how it's related to humble. Right? And I don't bang on about being humble. I don't need people to humble their asses all over the place and become doorman, become walked on.
It's the importance in being sincerely humble rather than... Yeah. There's a lot of... I'm going to put on my humble coat now.
So I kind of... It's interesting that you use that because that comes up in the poem, The Coat. So let's just say this one. Humility. In the shadow of great hills, in this vast valley, time stretches to mirror mythology. Distance draws away, the iris pulls perspective. Standing amongst the landscape, you will find the self. The heartbeat is all echo. It will roll down, unfolding as a river pebble ribbling around. Humility will meet you, greet you, welcome to you, welcome you in to your own human heart. Like an old friend, you will embrace. Humility will take your coat and hat and place them carefully on the hook behind the door, under the stairs, before returning to offer you tea. Humility will know self, know yourself, revealing corners of mystery patiently, presently, with steadfast perseverance. Humility will bring circles into your now. Circles of connection, circles of soul, circles of the infinite. Humility will catch your concerns and your cares, will trade them for humor and hope, all the while making you feel grand in the humblest of dwellings.
Well, thank you, Ian. Laughing bug, standing bear, talking bear.
Yeah, because I can't talk. Did you notice?
we've killed three batteries nearly, which has been really worth it. So thank you so much for your time and your knowledge and your sharing, your open-hearted sharing. It's been beautiful. Thank you. And I hope that people listening and watching get as much value as I have. Yeah. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you for lending us your ears. You can find more interviews and how to request a Hearth Tale featuring your favourite New Zealand artist, maker or creative soul on our website, hearthtales.com. And you can listen to this episode of Hearth Tales on freshfm.co.nz with a new show every fortnight. Until next time, fare thee well, friends. Fare thee well.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. visit our website freshfm.net for our contact details.